There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Phone number, same as it ever was. It has not changed, but if you're new to the show, it gets you in on a phone call or a text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Discussion coming up, you're probably going to have questions on, so utilize either phone lines or the text line at 343-0106. And as always, if you want to, send us one of those talkback messages using the FM Talk 106.5 app. If you haven't gotten it, just look for FMTALK 1065. If you're an Apple user, go to the App Store. If you're a very cool dad guy like me and use an Android, go to Google Play. And either place, look for FMTALK 1065. Get our app, and you can use that to do a whole bunch of stuff, but send us a talkback message as well. All right, this is a very good, and I've had probably, I don't know, a solid 6 minutes of conversation since this man entered my studio asking him questions about Vibrio from the Mobile County Health Department. Dr. Michaels, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
This is, okay, this makes news headlines.
Yes,
Vibrio. But it's Vibrio is a word for a suite of infections, right? Vibrio is not just – there's Vibrio –
I mean, there's any number of different strains.
Okay.
But Vibrio vulnificus.
That's the one we think of.
Flesh-eating bacteria,
yes,
causes a significant skin infection. It gets a lot of people's attention because mm-hmm. the person becomes ill. And unfortunately, that infection – they could end up, to get the infection under control, they may end up losing parts of their body or amputations. So that's sort of the concern. But that's one part of the Vibrio. But we also see Vibrio is a foodborne illness where you're eating undercooked seafood or not prepared appropriately, where they'll get a foodborne illness or gastrointestinal disease, diarrhea, a fever. So there's that aspect of it.
Is that a different? Is that vulnificus as well, or is
it
that,
could be, it could well be vulnificus too?
Okay, so you could get vulnificus. Watch me try to say it from a skin lesion, but you could also get it internally.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a Vibrio strain. There are different.
But there's
Vibrio
other
strains.
Vibrio, right? Okay. So because when we say this, are we kind of like saying Kleenex when we mean tissue? If we say Vibrio, it could be some different.
Well, one of the other things that people don't realize, it's also cholera. Which you see over, you know, overseas.
Cholera is Vibrio?
Yes, it is.
We get a cholera story about every month, you know, cholera in this food or that food. So that's also Vibrio?
Yes.
All right. I've learned a lot here. Dr. Michaels, let's go to the seasonality, if there is any, because it seems like it's this time of year, and I may be wrong, but it seems like it's a summertime thing that we hear these stories.
Well, yeah, you do hear it more so during the summertime when more people are recreating in the water.
That's the thing. The Vibrio is always there, but there's more of us getting the water in the summertime.
Exactly. And it stays, you know, it's ubiquitous in the environment along the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
Because the water is warmer. You got that brackish water. You know, Vibrio.
Yeah, what is the Goldilocks zone? We hear this for the brackish water. Is there a certain salinity that it doesn't exist in if it's too much or if it's completely fresh? Is it?
That's above my understanding.
But it's a brackish water thing.
It's found in warm water.
Okay.
And so where the brackish water doesn't have a lot of turnover, so you don't have really that tidal effect, so you'll get maybe increased, you know, bacterial count in those areas.
Okay.
But it's not only Vibrio. You can have E. coli, Enterococcus, Clostridium.
bacteria, in the same brackish water.
In the same brackish water. There are a number of different bacteria that could infect. And unfortunately, Vibrio, the Falciparum, that's a common one for flesh-eating bacteria, but other bacteria cause the same thing. And so what happens, you get the infection in the skin.
Okay.
The body's not able to fight off the infection, and the bacteria starts breaking down the skin and the tissue leakage.
Could other bacteria do the same thing?
Yes.
As Falciparum? So you could have an area where the flesh is being, quote-unquote, eaten away, and it could be another bacteria.
It could be, it could be another form.
Okay, so with that and that infection, so it's in the brackish water. Somebody goes in the water, either cuts themselves while they're in the water or already has a cut. Is it the second, what do y'all find out? Is it a duration of exposure? Could it happen immediately? In other words, if, let's say we know the Vibrio vulnificus is in this body of water. You and I go in there.
Right.
We're going fishing. We're going wade fishing. I had a cut that I didn't do anything with, and I'm in there, and you cut yourself while you're fishing and get out. Is there, you know what I'm saying, is it time spent in that that's a better chance, or is it could happen immediately?
It's really the overall health of the individual too.
Okay.
We know people that have a break in their skin due to trauma, cut themselves, mm-hmm. get stuck with a hook, cut on a piece of glass.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have to look at maybe they're dealing with diabetes, where you decrease the immune system response. So there are a whole bunch of other things that kind of compound why somebody gets an infection.
Now, I could have one of those issues, and we're both in the same water. We both get cut. You don't have that issue. We both were exposed to the same Vibrio. We may not have the same outcome because I have
correct.
Some.
That's a lot of times you'll see that.
Okay.
So the person who has a decreased immune system.
Okay.
Due to whatever chronic illness, may not respond, may not mount a quick immune response, and the infection gets worse. And maybe you get out of the water and you don't think anything about it. You go about your business, mm-hmm. and then later on in the night, you go to take a shower and clean off. Whereas I may have turned around, got out of the water, immediately right. washed my hands, cleaned up, did as best I can. Maybe I won't get the infection. But it's... you can't predict that.
You can't give me a formula that A plus B equals C on this. It's a variety of things that could happen.
Exactly.
So, and also aftercare for it, like for that person, let's say the person that has some compromised immune system, and I know there's different levels.
Right.
But we get out of the water, you're talking about washing up. What about using hydrogen peroxide or alcohol pads or whatever like that? Does that, we know that's best practice
change.
For other things.
Yeah, that may change the course of events.
Okay.
But typically we tell people, hey, go during the summer months, the warmer weather, getting out in the water, encourage that. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But if you had recently had surgery, a brand new tattoo, or had cut your hand, you should avoid water activity during that time. All right.
So the doctor's looking straight at me because
no, you
this
should.
Is me.
You should you should avoid water activity at
right.
that time until the skin heals up.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you could go out there and you could have none of those risk factors. Go out there and step on a piece of glass or a sharp rock and immediately cut your foot.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've exposed that wound to a nasty environment.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a significant burden of Vibrio in the water, it gets into that wound. And depending on how fast you get out of the water, clean it up, you probably should still follow up with your primary care provider to see if you have a medical reason to be put on antibiotics.
And how long, we're going to go to the break here, but come back. I want to see how long that, if somebody takes that shower or whatever and looks at a wound and goes, oh my gosh. Maybe something else is going on here. So we'll come back and get
all right.
more on that. Dr. Michaels with the Mobile County Health Department. Your questions on Vibrio, hit us up on the text line or the phone line, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, we're having fascinating discussions even during the news breaks with Dr. Michaels from the Mobile County Health Department talking about Vibrio vulnificus. Got it. But by the way, just one of my takeaways too. Cholera is also Vibrio. How about that? Y'all use that to wow your friends at the office. Say, well, by the way, also cholera's Vibrio. Talking about people getting it, and I will come back to the getting it through a lesion or something, but we mentioned this at the beginning, and the stats are borne out here from the Mobile County Health Department. More people are getting it. What do you call it, ingesting it or internally? Or
yeah, ingesting it.
Ingesting it.
So they eat raw seafood.
Okay.
And the seafood may have has Vibrio in it, and they get infected with it, and they develop a diarrheal-type illness. You maybe run a low-grade fever, stomach cramps, some nausea, vomiting. It's not fun, but they experience that, and they attribute that to a gastrointestinal, I ate something bad.
And it itself was Vibrio.
It could have been Vibrio, or it could have been any other bacteria.
Right, but there are cases where that's
exactly. So this past year, up to this point,
where are we on stats? Yeah,
about 50% are due to food.
Okay,
and 50% are due to environmental exposure.
Okay,
cutting, breaking the skin. Okay. Cuts.
Because we and I would read this text and then go into this question. This one from Billy D. He said a good friend of mine. In Ocean Springs, he tell me where he's working, but he said he scratched his leg crawling over a log that was in the water, checking on some traps that night. He woke up and had to crawl to the door, to crawl to the car, to drive himself to the hospital with his leg the size of a balloon and beat red.
Swelling, it's a source of infection.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first signs of infection. You'll have redness to the skin. It'll swell. It'll be quite painful. Discoloration, and you may even start seeing stuff pus ooze out of it. Good sign you got an infection. You need to go to the hospital and get treated.
Right, but okay, so here's a nuance to it. So I asked Dr. Michaels during the break. I said, yeah, but that's a sure sign, but what if it takes a day or two? You said, okay, well, it depends on how much you got exposed to, right? Exactly. So somebody who got a ton of bacteria in, they're like this guy maybe overnight, but what if you say, well, day one, it's not bad, but all of a sudden day two or three, it's bad. It could still be Vibrio.
It still can. Yes, it can.
You just didn't have as much, so it takes a little longer.
And your body is fighting off the infection. You know, you had best described it. You could be fighting off an army, or you can be fighting off one or two people.
Right.
The one or two bacteria, your body's fighting and keeping in check, and you may win.
But if you just get...
But if you get overwhelmed with a large number of bacteria, it's a losing... You're going to get that redness, like that gentleman described, overnight.
So y'all, just because it didn't happen day one, don't say that that must not be that kind of infection because it showed up day two or three.
Exactly.
All right. Y'all think about that. This text, will washing your hands and or abrasions in diluted bleach kill Vibrio?
Soap and water. Cleaning it up.
That's
fresh
what you doctors always
water.
Say. You're like, there's all these other things. Or soap and water.
Yeah, fresh soap and water. Now, the problem with bleach in itself will cause damage to the skin.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not, putting straight bleach on the skin will cause chemical burns. So it's not, so you don't want to confuse.
It's good.
Clean, fresh water with soap.
There's no...
Is simplistic.
I know. I mean, there's no excitement in that, Dr. Michaels. Come on, man. It's got to be, you got to boil this and do this. No. So with people that get these infections too, and I've got more texts I could get to, but age-wise, is there anything to that? Or is it just the fact that maybe people that are older might have some kind of
typically,
condition?
Typically, as we age, our immune system weakens.
Okay.
It's a natural occurring event.
Right.
A young person has a strong, vivacious immune system. As we get older, we develop chronic diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, things that impact our immune system, rheumatoid arthritis. All those things impact the body's ability to fight off of infection and the aging process. So that's the difference. So
okay.
An older person may be at increased risk from an infection because their body is sort of worn out.
Mm-hmm. Got that right.
Where a younger person may not have the same, the same situation.
See, okay. So, I mean, you take this person as all this is non-scientific, but 22-year-old Sean Sullivan cut his foot on oysters, as a kid. I might have gotten a Vibrio at that time. And it I don't know, but I fought it off. Here I am at 53. I might not have the same suite of ability to fight it off.
And really the hard thing about it is, you know, you come in and you have a bacterial infection. You know, if the doctor takes a culture and sends it off to the lab and it comes back positive for Vibrio, fine, it's Vibrio.
Okay.
But, you know, a doctor may not necessarily take a culture.
And is that a fair thing for somebody to ask when they go and say, could you check this for Vibrio?
I would leave it up to the provider and taking the overall. I don't want to say what the provider needs to do or not do. Basically, the provider is going to evaluate you from a medical standpoint and put you on the appropriate treatment. You know, again, if he collects cultures, he's still going to treat you for a bacterial infection. And that's what Vibrio is. It's a bacterial infection. And he's going to treat you for it. He's going to put you on the best antibiotic for what, you know, what he feels is appropriate at that time and send off the cultures. And if it comes back for, you know, for Vibrio, most health departments have a reporting requirement that any cases of Vibrio be reported to the health department.
Okay.
We don't necessarily get into what species, but we may get that additional information, but all we're required to report is the Vibrio case.
But it goes back to this, like on the antibiotics and everything you said, it's time of is of the essence, to be cliche here, right? If you do that, it's worth going to see somebody, and if that doctor can put you on antibiotics day one, you're in a better place.
Exactly.
Okay. Several of these questions, I'm kind of lump them into one. Questions about what's in the water, right? And Vibrio's been here. Our conversation with your compatriot over there.
Vibrio's been here. It's ubiquitous in the environment.
Whether there was a person here or not, there's Vibrio in the water.
Exactly.
People are asking, do we have more Vibrio cases because of things in the water? Sewage, chemicals. There are several people asking different versions of this.
Well, you know, I can't say I can't say what the bacterial count is.
Okay.
Though the state Alabama Department of Environmental goes out and measures bacterial counts, and based on that, they dictate whether oyster harvesting is open or based on bacterial load. But they're not necessarily looking at Vibrio, they're looking at everything.
Whole suite of bacteria.
To say whether the oysters would be safe to be consumed or food. So it's present. It's present in the
entire Gulf Coast. But if single one of us here, if you know, there wasn't a human being here, Vibrio would be here in the water.
Exactly.
At some level.
Due to the nature of the water. It has the right salt concentration. There's not a large turnover. The water is warm. Things grow well in warm water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Gulf Coast.
Yes, that's us.
So it's here.
And one texture here back. Oh, Billy said another thing here that it took this man well over a year. He did survive it, but it took him well over a year to recover from one incident.
Like the infection, getting it under control. You know, as it destroys the tissue, getting the new tissue to grow in and fill in the void.
So, I guess on the flesh-eating part of it is what makes TV headlines and all that. But in reality, you have to kill out the Vibrio completely before the body starts growing that flesh again, right?
Right. Before it starts healing. You've got to fight the infection.
Yeah.
It's a losing battle. You can replace cells.
Is it Vibrio? I mean, we say flesh-eating, but it's killing it, right? It's killing the...
It's destroying the tissue.
And so, you know, it's destroying it and it's falling away versus it's not actively eating it, right? Or,
you know, flesh-eating bacteria sounds a whole lot more.
Yeah, it's sensationalized. I'm just trying to figure out what, you know, really is happening.
Well, it's destroying the tissue.
Okay.
It's the same thing like digestive enzymes digesting the meat you ate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Your body is, a bag of meat.
Yes.
And the tissue and the bacterial is eating it. And digesting it, and it's breaking down, and those products, there's the leakage.
Okay.
And then you get other things on there, poor oxygen count coming in, and the body starts killing itself because it can't get nutrition into the wound because it's disrupted the circulatory system.
Yeah.
It's setting up that perfect storm for destroying that.
Wow.
That piece. I mean.
Wow.
I'm trying to verbalize what you would be looking at.
Right.
And a lot of times when they go in, if the infection is significant enough where it is on the part of the body, they may have to amputate till they get back to healthy tissue.
And at that point, the Vibrio would be localized to that wound. It wouldn't be through your whole system to where...
Exactly.
But okay, that's interesting though.
But some people will get that super infection where it starts spreading through their entire body.
This is, I don't want to run out of time, but this is good from Bill. He's asking can Vibrio survive long on rocks that are close to shore? He's asking kind of a question like, does Vibrio live outside the water for any period of time?
Well, it lives on seafood, raw seafood. And that's why when you cook seafood, you're supposed to cook it to 145 degrees because that temperature kills it.
That kills Vibrio, 145. So it can travel, right? I mean, so what Bill's asking, so yeah, it could survive.
It could survive outside the water. It could be on
wave splashes some distance in a parking lot or something like that. There could be Vibrio in that.
Yes. It's probably not as common, but where you're going to see it is on equipment that's used in the water. You know, maybe a boat engine being serviced, a shucking knife.
Yeah.
You know, you bring in a group of oysters and it has the fluid still there, and you think sticking your hands in that oyster water is cleaning it off.
Oh my gosh. Well, we got a lot to worry about. We got to go to a hard break here. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1:34, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And we talk about the inventory of vehicles, which is flush right now, I know. But the inventory and financing, I don't think we've talked about that enough. I mean, it's not just one financer you're working with.
Oh, no. We've probably got 15 different lenders that we use or have the availability to use. Of course, we have our favorite ones that's got the best rates and the ones that buy the deals that are questionable sometimes, you know. But the one thing we do have the ability to do, if somebody's looking for a vehicle and a lot of people that have had credit problems in the past think their credit's a lot worse than what it actually is. We have the ability to call it in, put it in our system, and it evaluates everything, and it tells them what they qualify for.
Gotcha.
And that's one good thing that we do have available here. So if anybody's out there looking for something, you're worried, you know, people just think they're going to get embarrassed and turned down. You're not going to get embarrassed and turned down at this place, I can promise you. But we can put your information in there. As long as you give us all the correct information, then I can accurately tell you what vehicle you qualify for and what your payment would be.
Yeah, we'd probably do that over the phone before we even come out and see you.
You can. You can do it online, and it comes straight to my office, or you can call me. We'll take it over the telephone.
All right. Well, give me telephone numbers and websites, and then a good old-fashioned real-world location.
The website's lcmmotorcars.com. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or we're on Highway 90 in Theodore, right here at Plantation and Highway 90 at the red light, 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A.
Good stuff, David. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day, buddy.
All right. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with Dr. Kevin Michaels, Mobile County Health Department. We're talking Vibrio. And, you said this earlier in the hour, but reminder here. You said, I mean, if you've got a cut, wait before you go get in the water.
Yes. I mean, till it heals up.
Till it heals up.
So when the skin grows over that wound, it's now healed up, you can go back into the water.
See, it's I showed the doctor a cut on my hand before I went in the water this weekend. I, you know, should have done a little research beforehand. Looking at, you know, our text line, it's not, and I'd probably argue there's a better chance of somebody probably dying in a car accident on the way to the water to get Vibrio, but I'm just in my audience, the people have family members or people they knew that died from this. So it's not unknown.
One in five people that get a Vibrio infection could end up having significant infection and potentially dying.
One in five? My gosh, that's more serious than I thought.
But that's not people going in the water. I mean, that's not people going in the water. If you have a Vibrio infection.
Right. If you've got, one in five going in the water. But if you go, okay, I go and I've got Vibrio. One in five.
Yes.
Dr. Barker, that's heady. I didn't realize that.
But
if you get it and you go to the doctor and they go, hey, you've got Vibrio.
and they take the, they do the appropriate wound management, clean the wound, put you on the appropriate antibiotics, you're in better shape. But it, you know, like a lot of your listeners have come in, they've had acquaintances, family members that have gotten
this
infection.
Is not unknown here. Yeah,
it's common to them. All right, but then when you look at the millions of people that visit the Gulf Coast.
Well, like I said, you have a better chance of getting a car accident than you do,
right,
you know, going down.
So all the people that come down, you know, come down from the north and visit visit the Gulf Shores, not just Alabama, but the whole Gulf Coast. It's not, you know, it's not everybody.
Right. No, it, but it, well, I didn't expect it was, but you're saying out of people that got it, that they get to the medical, you know, get the physician, they go, you've got Vibrio. You've got it. You got it. One in five of those
could have a significant outcome.
That's
whether it be death or amputation or
and the amputation
prolonged
thing that gets so much attention. You, it made sense. You're trying to, because the Vibrio is not in your entire system. It's located there where the infection
it's
is.
It's typically where the infection, and the infection starts to swell or expand.
Okay.
And that tissue that it's expanding into is being destroyed. And so what the amputation is supposed to do is you go back to where you have uninfected tissue.
Right.
And you're cutting at that point. So
give yourself a margin. And
you got a clean margin, and that's where you're going to.
So somebody that dies of it, too, that it just progresses its way through and they don't stop it.
Yeah, it overwhelms the immune system. The body can't fight anymore. And it's not only an infection. When you have an infection, your heart increases, your breathing increases. So if you have any type of heart disease and your heart can't respond to that increased stress, they usually have a heart attack. So you have complications
Because we know that when you're fighting an infection, you're warmer than normal. You feel you almost feel your blood pulsing when that's going on.
So. Nutrition, you know, other coexisting diseases, cancers,
right,
all impact the body's ability to fight off that infection. That's the concern. When somebody, you know, when somebody gets in, has an infection, ends up in the hospital, it's what other illnesses they have and the body's ability to respond back.
And that's not, that does sound like so many things outside of Vibrio, that it's, you've got this person passed away from whatever it is, but they also had these other things going on. But you start listing some of the things, you weren't like some rare disease. You're talking about things that affect a lot of Americans.
Smokers. Yeah. People smoke tobacco.
Yeah.
Their ability to, to import oxygen into a tissue area that's trying to fight off an infection. Smoking decreases the microcirculation.
You're not talking about people who have some rare tropical disease. You're naming things that affect like lots of people.
Exactly.
Like a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it's a heads up. And the other thing somebody asked, did you really say soap and water? You really did.
Yes, soap and water. Cleaning, I mean, that's the first step.
Yes.
Cleaning up with soap and water.
Right.
Fresh water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the brackish water. Get fresh water, clean water.
Fresh water, cleaning up, you know, copious amounts of fresh water and soap, cleaning up the area. And then assessing, you know, how deep the injury is.
Buford says, is it true that if you have some sort of liver complications for Vibrio, it will take hold a dangerous level?
Yes. If you liver disease, kidney disease, all of those impact the body's ability to fight off infections.
You know, but when you just said other things, you're talking about like heart disease, you're talking about a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah, this is an eye opener here. Paul says, if you're old enough, years ago, people would say, if you have a cut, then you should go soak it in the Gulf. What's changed now that Vibrio is present? Well, Vibrio's been here the whole time, but you had the old like, just put it out in the salt water. That's not going to do it. If the Vibrio's there, the salt water at the beach is not going to wash it out.
No, it's not.
Paul, they used to tell us a lot of stuff when we were kids, though, too.
The old wives' tales.
Yes.
Yeah, mom said this,
yes.
You did it, and never had a problem.
Yeah, and back to the soap and water thing, it's really discouraging because, like, when I was a child, the more the disinfectant hurt, the
you
better
thought
it was working. It was working. They'd pour that alcohol on you and be, it's working. That's how it's working, or the whatever the betadine.
There's been changes in medicine where we see a lot of what we've done previously in the previous decades, that the the treatment we use is more destructive to the natural cells. And so there's been this modulation back and forth. What's the right amount of iodine mm-hmm. in an area before you start doing further damage?
Right.
You know, what's the right level before you hurt the body?
Yeah. How much of the patient are you injuring here when you're injuring whatever the infection or
exactly.
the disease is? It takes all the fun out of the old days of cauterizing something. And leeches were a thing.
They were.
We're still not with them. All right. As we wrap up here, too, and the people, I think I got most of their questions asked. What do you tell people going forward here? You talked about number one, not getting in the water with the open wound.
Well, yeah. I mean, enjoy the water.
Yes.
Enjoy the activity outside. But if you have any break in the skin, either a brand new tattoo, a
mm-hmm.
Previous surgical wound, or you had just cut your hand, I would avoid getting in the water unless adequately covered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, that's an art in itself, keeping it covered.
Right.
I would stay out of the brackish water.
Okay.
All right. If you do get exposed to the brackish water, immediately clean the area with fresh soap and water. So take that shower, clean it out, and watch the wound and make sure you don't develop any redness, any swelling, discoloration to the skin where it doesn't look normal. Go to a doctor or go to the primary care clinic and get evaluated.
And you also pointed out, I think it was Bill's question earlier about distance from the water. Anywhere. So if somebody is shucking oysters and cuts their hands.
Exactly.
If somebody's working on a boat.
Hazard.
Yeah, you said that like a boat trailer and I'm working on it afterwards back, and I cut my hand while I'm doing it. There's a chance you could be exposed there.
Yes, you can.
So it's not just when you're in the water.
It's not just when you're water. And that makes it very, when we do the evaluation, when we assess, the report, we ask what the source of exposure was.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people say, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. It could be, it could be from any different sources, but a lot of times it's from undercooked or properly unprepared food.
Fry them oysters.
Yeah, you have oysters and the oyster juice slops over with hamburger meat.
Yeah.
Something like that. There's a cross contamination.
So you've been at my house before at dinner time? All right. Well, I appreciate this because, there's a lot of what comes out about this is sensationalized, right? It gets people's attention and all that, but knowing the exact reasons behind it are important.
You can go and enjoy the water.
Yeah.
Go out and enjoy it, but take the appropriate precautions and you'll have a safe and fun time. But other people need to take the extra steps and
share this, y'all, with friends out there. Because it may not be, I know all this stuff, but there's probably somebody out there that might not. So share this information.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Kevin Michaels, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in and thanks for talking about it with us. And we may get maybe a refresher with you, come next time we all get in the water next spring.
Yeah, exactly.
Come back in and talk about it with us then.
That'd be perfect. Thank you.
All right. Hey, you're welcome. Thank you. Dr. Kevin Michaels, our guest, coming back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. And I'll grab some of your text at 343-0106.
On FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I've actually interrupted her from one of her jobs here on this Monday. What are you doing right now?
I am cleaning jewelry, and I have like 7 different trays to go through.
Well, then you get a little break.
Gold and silver.
A little break
yeah,
now
a little
to
break.
Talk on the phone.
So, yeah, absolutely.
7 trays?
Yes. 7 trays of like gold and silver jewelry being refurbished to put in the case up for sale. And if somebody walks in and they're looking for something in particular, wants to look through the trays, go for it because I'll give you a discount because I don't have to put the time and effort into, taking pictures of it and listing it online.
That's some real world stuff. Also, if I have some jewelry we would like to get you, I know you're going to throw something at me through the phone, but can customers come in to get jewelry cleaning?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we sell jewelry cleaner here, too, and polishing cloths. So if you can't make it over here, you can stop in and you can't leave your pieces here or can't make it over here. One of those days where I'm not available, they can clean it for you. Or you can buy a self-serve type of thing at home that's easy to use.
All right. Tell folks, man, there's so much else going on between the jewelry you could buy that has been cleaned by Anna, or the great precious metals going on, or we need, you know what, we'll talk later in the week about open-held eyes more, but how do they find you?
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. We're just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church, and you can find me on Facebook as well.
Good stuff, Anna. Thank you, and get back to cleaning that jewelry.
Yes, thank you.
All right, there goes Anna. All right, let's get some text here. And by the way, the side note of text about being kids and, you know, Dr. Michaels was talking about soap and water, but I remember being a kid. It was like, whatever, and I still have this hang up myself when I'm cleaning out a wound. If it doesn't hurt real badly, then it's not doing anything. Remember that mom would come out with this first aid kit that probably came from World War II, and this was in the 70s, and start pouring, like, ah, but that's how you know it's working, boy. All right, this from Michael says, from experience, if you get on antibiotics for Vibrio, you definitely also need to take some probiotics. Otherwise, in a few months later, you end up being told you may have colon cancer at 28, but turns out you just have bad colitis. Okay, this would happen to you. 9 stitches from helping out some old guys that ran their scout's eye hook over the roller at the launch. That's, you know, that's one thing. And Michael, I'm glad you survived that and you're with us. You're a young guy and got it. You're 28. The stuff away from the water, and I don't know why I would be so ignorant to it, but to hear Dr. Michaels talk about, and I think it was Bill asked the question, was a good one, you know, some distance from the water. And yeah, I mean, even if you're like, I shuck a bunch of oysters, usually around Christmas too. If I'm sitting there shucking oysters, I've cut myself before. And I had the gloves and stuff like that, but you take this one off and you put, you know, you're doing something, you cut it on the oyster, or, you know, you have a, you put a lot of pressure there to pop that oyster and it slips. And even though they're a dull tip on your oyster knife, I've done all that stuff before. Cut myself on a trailer that had been in the, didn't think about it. Yeah, Tyler asking, what about fish that have been in an ice bath? Does ice water kill Vibrio? I don't know that. Dr. Michaels is gone now, but he did say, you know, you keep that fish. He was giving me an anecdote, like you could, if you didn't cook the fish thoroughly enough, right? Say that fillet had a bunch of Vibrio, but that cooking knocked it down to the point where you might just get a little bit sick, right? Because it didn't kill all the Vibrio. So I mean, to me, that scenario means it can. And I'm kind of out of my league, Tyler, but. Been in an ice bath. It depends on how long, I guess, but it sounds like the way he was talking about it, it could continue on them. And if it's on oysters, I mean, any oysters I'm shucking, well, there's some exceptions. We used to, you know, be down in Venice or down Louisiana, knock some loose and eat them there. But most of the time they've been on ice. If I'm shucking oysters, they've been on ice. Yeah, more people about. But Lord knows, I never had somebody say Jack Daniels. I never had Jack Daniels poured on a wound. But the alcohol or the, what was the other one? The red stuff, that betadine that stained everything. That one. We're going to make sure we get the infection out. How do we know? Because you're hollering, right? But it's just something to think about. It's not going to stop me from getting in the water. Like I said, I was just doing it this weekend. But we hear these stories and, you know, to know a little bit more about this and when you're going to, you know, get in the water, not get in the water. It's a tough thing. I mean, somebody like me, I think about it. I stay, what is the term? My grandfather, I stay boogered up, right? I just working around the house and the farm and stuff. I always have like a cut somewhere. And then to kind of think that through before I get in the water. So what am I? Methylate. Thank you. Doesn't have methylate. Remember that stuff in it. You knew it was working, right? Doesn't have that. You knew it was working because it burned. That's how you knew it was working. right? The tomorrow show, by the way, too, and I want to talk about a couple things here coming up. So tomorrow show, it is back. It is the second Tuesday of the month. It's your chance to ask the sheriff. So Sheriff Paul Birch is going to join me tomorrow, noon to 1 on the show. Also, later in the week, too, I want to give you a heads up. So I think I said it last hour, and there was a lot more on social media about this yesterday after there was a, can we call it kayak regatta? They went on at Big Creek Lake, and it's people going out there and fishing and being on the lake, right? And one of the people there was the person that made the news a while ago that had been given a ticket on this when he was out with his kayak. He's back out there with a lot of friends yesterday. But Andy Ellsworth is going to join us on Thursday's show. So some of this discussion of Big Creek Lake, which I don't think is going away anytime soon, but we'll hear it from somebody who was a person that was, I'd say, emblematic right now of the people that are accessing the lake through public property, right? It's the thing we talked about when the story first came up. They're accessing the land through public property, and then they're getting on the lake. And then they're now being challenged. I think, what was it, Ball said that they damaged the boom, which I don't understand how you can damage a boom that was hastily put up across a section of Big Creek with a kayak. I don't know. I mean, you really work hard with a kayak to damage something like that, but we'll talk to him on Thursday's show as well. Oh, yes, Mercurochrome. So I don't know which one. Mariner says, so it doesn't have meta, says methylate, and the Mariner says Mercurochrome. I think both were used on me. And then, remember the big bottle of alcohol? Not even the swabs. The whole, like, hold still kid, and here come the alcohol being poured on it. Wade says vinegar. I don't think Mama ever used vinegar. I had Mercurochrome, I think, probably methylate, and alcohol. I didn't have vinegar, although vinegar is a good cleaning agent. It does a lot of good things, but I don't think she used that on me. Probably because she was cooking with it. Wasn't going to stop that long enough when we had some stuff that stained your leg red, you know? Right, Paul Feinbaum all the way next. We'll see y'all tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile.